reading Luke chapter 7, verse 1. I'm reading it. It says, "Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with them to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. When he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned around, and said to the crowd that followed him, 'I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel.' And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick." So Jesus goes back into the city of Capernaum, and there's a centurion there, Roman centurion living there. His servant is sick and is about to die. And so he hears that Jesus just entered Capernaum, or is coming toward Capernaum. He picks up some of the elders and he tells them to go talk to Jesus to see if Jesus would heal the servant. And elders of the Jewish elders are making a compelling case. Hey, this guy deserves this. He has also built us a synagogue. This guy loves our nation. So Jesus says, okay, I'll go heal him, the servant. So when he's approaching, he's met with another wave of centurion friends. And the centurion friends are telling Jesus that, hey, the man sent us. He doesn't think himself worthy to come to you. And he's not even worthy to have you under his roof. So just say the word. We were talking about how does one get sick and about to die? What does it take for somebody to get sick and die? Right? We kind of like don't think about it, but there are a couple of ways one can get sick and be close to death. One can get pathogens. Pathogens are viruses and bacteria. Your body, your immune system will attack it, and if the pathogen is stronger than the immune system, it will kill you. So the servant had some sort of bacteria virus. The other way one can get sick, they have cancer. Cancer is a multiplication of your cells, but they're out of control, and eventually it will kill you. The other way you will get sick and die because you have some sort of an organ failure. Those are a couple of the ways I can see. So this centurion, he was part of a military unit called a legion. A legion was about 4,800 people. It changes numbers over centuries, but about 4,800 people. There were so centurion used to be in charge of 100 people, but eventually they were in charge of only 80 people. There were about 60 of them in one legion. six of these groups of 80 created this thing called a cohort, which was about 480 people. A senior centurion will take care of that group. There's at least eight more people that were in charge in a legion above the centurion. There were 25 of these legions around the world, and probably Romans also had a lot of auxiliary and also navy. Centurion understood the hierarchy, and the very top of the hierarchy where the emperor Tiberius was sitting. Tiberius was the current emperor of his time. Centurion probably had no opportunity to ever see Tiberius in his lifetime because he was the top dog, and there were all these hierarchies in the Roman chain of commands and establishments. He understood hierarchy. When he hears about Jesus, he knows where Jesus ranks in the heavenly hierarchy. He says, you know what? There are people above me. I obey their orders. There are people below me. They obey my orders. You don't have to come here. But amazing that the centurion, the Roman centurion, thinks that Jesus has sovereignty over pathogens, viruses and bacteria. That Jesus has sovereignty over cancerous cells. That Jesus can actually repair a failed or failing organ. Who has this kind of authority in the, even in the heavenlies? So centurion has great faith and understand who Jesus is, that his office doesn't match Jesus' office in the heavenlies. He doesn't have him to come under his roof. And that's why Jesus is amazed by his faith, because he understood it. He got it. So like, we're still, none of us are struggling with pathogens to the point of death. Nobody has cancer that I know of. And nobody perhaps have organ failures, perhaps. But remember that this is not about healing. First of all, God is sovereign. He will not let you have the pathogens come into your body. It just shows that, like, if you are ever in a situation, remember that God is sovereign and Jesus is sovereign. What he would do with it, I don't know. And the purpose that he has for you, I don't know. But he's sovereign. Let's continue reading. Verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. When he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came, touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all. They glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us. And God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea, all the surrounding region. So the next day, Jesus leaves Capernaum and starts walking toward Nain, which is not that far. It's a day trip. Next day, him and his disciples and a whole crowd of people are following Jesus into Nain. As they're coming, they see this funeral procession. This people from the town are coming out. So one crowd is about to meet another crowd. But this crowd is carrying a dead man only son of a widow. And she was crying. Verse 13 says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Also, it's an interesting, you remember when Jesus goes to see Mary and Martha in John chapter 11, and he sees Mary crying, Jesus weeps, but not here. He had compassion also then, and he cried, but not here. He had compassion here too, but he doesn't cry. Do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up again, began to speak, and he presented it to his mother. So who is this man that has the cure for death? Not just for sickness, not just for cancer, not just for organ failure, but this man was already beyond any of those things. He is already dead. But Jesus has sovereignty over death. He's the cure to death. He has a cure to death. We'll read this and conclude it. So we're reading John chapter 5, verse 24. It says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Verse 25, I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. He has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. My judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I've been pondering on this verses, like what Jesus is trying to say. There's only one man that walked on the earth that has cured for death. Look around. Everybody is about to die. Everybody you see is going toward their death. And the humanity has given up. They know there's no one on the face of the earth who can cure this one. And Jesus comes in and says, verse 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. He has crossed from death. The inevitable has been reversed. He has crossed from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those who hear will live. This young man that was dead, he touches the coffin and he resurrects this man. And he wasn't the only time he resurrected people. Jesus resurrected Lazarus in John chapter 11. And also there was a young girl, Jairus' daughter, in Mark 5. He resurrected her. There were three instances, and he himself resurrected himself. I was talking to this couple today, and they're elderly. The gentleman reminded my father before he passed away. My father passed away last year. He's around that age. I said, I know someone who has a cure for death. They're elderly. They're waiting for the inevitable. I know that Jesus has cure for death. Come to the Bible study. Come to the Bible study. He's the only one I know who can actually, he has cure for death. The work that has been given to us is not a small matter. We're not just talking about religion here. If they can hear Jesus, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. He has walked from mortality to immortality. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Would he respond to my invitation? I invite him to the study? I don't know. I don't know what he will do with it. But only if he can hear the voice of Jesus and can have faith and change his ways, he's going to cross over from death to life. And if he doesn't?
No hope.
No hope. Summarize. Someday we may be covered in cancer. Someday we may be losing the battle for a virus or a bacteria. Someday one of our organs may be failing and we may be sick to the point of death. Even worse, we may die. But we're going to live. Because of Jesus.
It's a great promise.
Because of Jesus. Then I don't have to fear death. And not only that, we can become a prophet. We can become an ambassador. We can become a proclaimer, heralder of life. To those, everybody around us. Everybody, because everybody is going toward their death, soon or later. And Jesus has come to reverse it and cure it. And we are his disciples. We're his mouthpiece on earth. So may God grant us eyes as carrier of this life to the people that are dying around us. And may God give us boldness to open our mouths and say things, perhaps that will fall onto their ears. Maybe they will hear Jesus. Maybe they will have faith. Maybe they will seek Jesus while there is time.